TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL.
Hockey. Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
Zuccarello to the middle for a shot. He scores! Wild on the attack again, and they score! This time, Zuccarello to Kaprizov, and Cole scores! Hartman finds the trailing Ian Cole. Back to Foligno. He scores! Back to Brodin. He scores!
Oh.
Rask moves in and scores! And Minnesota has a season-high six goals.
Hey, did he score?
You don't even listen to the local announcers, so don't give me, Declan Goff, any of your lip.
What do you mean?
You're too busy sampling. You're cheating on the Wild by listening to these faux announcers, the opponent announcers.
By cable companies, and I have to watch the opposing broadcasts on the internet streams.
And every time I get a note from you saying, this guy's so good and that guy's so good.
You should have heard me at Ian last night.
And I'm watching the Wild, okay?
Han was great. My guy Brett Hedekin, go Huskies. St. Cloud State just got his degree. You know, me and Brett Hedekin got something in common, Judd. There's only one school that came knocking on our doors, and it was St. Cloud State. You know, one of us played hockey, one of us covered hockey, and here we both are now, you know, with microphones.
Just because you applied to a school does not mean that it came knocking on your door.
I don't know. I don't know. It's in my family. A lot of family members, a lot of golf family members are St. Cloud State alumni. So says a lot about us.
I finally found a start time I can't stand. 9:35, I can't take it.
All right, you know what?
And I complained about it, and who clapped back at me on Twitter? But Wes Walls.
Oh, did he?
Said I wasn't with the program.
Oh, Wes.
I said, Wes, I still stayed up. I used my veteran savvy.
Right.
I said I kept my shifts shorter in the third period, but I still stayed up. But I finally found, you know what? 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock, you go for it.
All right, unless it's like summer vacation, and like or summertime, I should say. I haven't been on summer vacation in, you know, 8 years.
Thought maybe you had to go back to school.
But,
that St. Cloud State thing didn't really work out.
Speaking of St. Cloud State. But I'll even say, and this is someone who is pro 9 o'clock starts, 9:30, 9:35 is pushing it.
Yeah, it really
is. It's a little much.
Because you're going to hit midnight.
It's a little much.
I don't want to hit midnight.
I brought the laptop in bed with me to finish the third.
I watched the game from the bed.
Yeah. What about, did the missus like that?
She was downstairs.
Oh, she was downstairs.
Yeah, no, she doesn't like to watch the games. She was watching something about
you
how
got
to
the bed.
Kill my husband.
But you got the bed. Wouldn't
but the bed's bad because you can accidentally fall asleep then.
Oh.
So I actually laid in bed to watch the first and second, and then I got a little bit sleepy.
Sure.
And so I sat up.
Prop yourself up a little
bit. No, I actually went to the end of the bed and sat on the bed and watched it.
Oh, wow. You and Stella watched the game?
No, she stayed downstairs.
Oh, wow. Man, you were really isolated.
I am not. Let's just say I'm not always a fan favorite in my house.
I can tell.
My viewing habits, my attitude, my smart aleck comments.
Well, I get that one.
I am sort of what you would call at times, although I've not been fired yet, the Paul Fenton of my house.
Oh, well, so you got savvy trades that have now
and
started to work out.
By the way,
out, huh?
Are we not here to celebrate?
Yes.
Are we not here? Do we not come? I don't know if there's music, but we are here to celebrate the savviness of Paulie Fenton.
That's what we're here for.
Paulie Walnuts. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
I think we can redo the lyrics here. Everything he did, it worked out well. His trades were a thing of genius.
Oh, yeah.
Who needed Nino? I'm just telling you, okay? We come here to celebrate, not to bury. You know what I've always said about this Score North format?
And what's that?
Before it, 1500, ESPN. I always said this. We celebrate greatness. We don't pile on people. We don't criticize. What we look for is we look for the good. We look for the good. And when everyone else is saying Paul Fenton was a jerk who deserved what he got, we're saying, but have you looked at what he did?
Right.
Okay, I challenge you right now. So since they came back from the pandemic,
okay,
the Wild is 3-1.
Yeah,
they lost to the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
They beat up on the Ducks. Are just
the Ducks
awful?
Gophers.
I don't want
hockey team might give the Ducks a run for their money.
I don't want to watch the Ducks no more.
Yeah,
and then they beat the Sharks 6-2 on Monday night. And let's just go through. Let's see if I've got it here.
Okay,
let's just go through a list of guys Paul Fenton acquired. Okay.
Yeah.
Victor Rask. Victor Rask acquired in what was considered by many of us, including me, in full disclosure, being serious, one of the worst trades I've ever seen, okay?
Yeah.
Victor Rask, in 13 games now, has 5 goals and 2 assists, 7 points. He is a +4.
Yep.
His 5 goals, by the way, in 13 games this season, Declan Goff,
yep,
matched the total he had in 43 games last season.
Yeah.
So he has matched that. Okay.
First line center. Yep.
He is now. Yeah. He is now. Because I still think Eriksson Ek is better, but I don't think there's any debate. He is now the Wild's second best center. And I don't think right now that you can argue it, can you?
I don't think
And look, that's damning with faint praise. But seriously, like, you know, I mean, look at the lines last night.
Yeah.
Ek. Hartman now shifted to the pivot, and he's played well,
but
he's not the second best.
Old reliable.
Rask and fit in perfectly on the fourth line. Bonino. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Victor Rask is your second best center right now. Now, in fairness, our guy Nino in Carolina.
He's tearing it up.
17 games, 9 goals, 3 assists, 12 points, plus 12.
Shooting a ton, too. He's grabbing a career eye in shots.
But nonetheless, do you know how bad this trade should look right now again?
It should.
And Victor Rask is your second best center. All right. Kevin Fiala. We all know that this was highway robbery of the Nashville Predators and David Poile.
Yeah.
12 games now, mm-hmm. 6 goals, an assist, 7 points, minus 2. But he has played really well. He has 4 goals in his past 5 games.
He's awesome.
He is now on a line that makes sense, which is Eriksson Ek, Greenway on the left, Fiala on the right. Okay? Mikael Granlund, who re-signed with the Preds and supposedly is on the trading block because the Predators stink and might be traded to Toronto.
I was right.
In 14 goals. Yeah, 2 years ago you were right about that. In 14 games, Granlund, 3 goals, 4 assists, 7 points, minus 3. But it's not even close.
Yeah, he's the best player on that worst team.
It's not even close.
Yeah, Fiala's unbelievable.
Here's another one.
Okay.
Paul Fenton was right. Okay? Charlie Coyle in Boston.
Yeah, this has been a disaster. And by
the way, I told you, it actually wasn't for a while, but now it's gone back to Charlie being Charlie.
Yep.
So I read you a headline from Boston, was it 2 weeks ago now? That basically said Bruins want more aggressiveness from Charlie Coyle, which is like, welcome to the club, Boston.
Is that Brian Murphy or is that someone from the Boston Globe? I mean, I don't know who's writing that one.
16 games for Coyle with the Bees this season. 3 goals, 2 assists, 5 points, minus 2. Ryan Donato, who is now with the Sharks, who was playing against the Wild last night but was involved in the Coyle deal when Fenton obtained him, 17 games, 3 goals, 5 assists, 8 points. He has 3 more points than Charlie Coyle and as many goals. Now he is, because the Sharks stink, a minus 7. But the point is, at the end of the day right now, if you're a Wild fan, and my God, a lot of you get defensive, dare we criticize said team, you can't have it both ways here.
No.
You can't say, well, Paul Fenton didn't do that much. I'm glad he's gone. But the team's great. No, the team is great. Yeah. Matthew Boldy, okay? Last time I checked, he's going to be good, right?
Yeah, he sounds pretty damn good.
Matthew Boldy was drafted by whom?
Paul Fenton.
When we all said Cole Caulfield's right there. He's small, but he can score goals. I said that for sure.
Yeah, I think both players are going to be good players in the NHL.
Anyway, the point is this. You can't be a Wild apologist and rip Paul Fenton. You either have to jump off the ship completely and not apologize for this team and be a critic across the board, or you have to say, I'm a Wild apologist, but my God, I now have to defend Paul Fenton.
Right. And
it's great.
Well, you also forgot Matt Zuccarello, who has been the Wild's MVP over the last 2 games.
Babe. Keep going. I can't even keep track of all of the successes.
Matt Zuccarello looks like the guy who was in New York for the past 7 years when he was just a darling and a fan favorite there and was setting up plays for a very good Rangers team.
Who, by the way, in a very short time has developed a chemistry with Kaprizov.
Yes.
That looks like it's for real.
Yeah, it is for real. It is for real.
I'm sorry. I digress. Go ahead.
But anyway, you really can have it both ways. Now, are guys like Victor Rask, maybe is his trade value as high as it gets? It might be. Is he outperforming by only with 11 shots on goal with 5 goals and playing 11 minutes a night? Yeah, maybe. But guess what? He's thriving right now. He's thriving. And I think the thing is, for whatever reason, there's attachment to that core of players. The players that were traded away, the Nino, the Coyle, the Granlunds of the world, that fans loved.
Mm-hmm.
I was a kid in college, too, thought they were going to be special, thought this was going to be the nucleus to build around. And guess what? It just didn't work. It just they never materialized. It never developed into what you thought they could be. And also, the most important part on the last edition of Paul Fenton Was Right, I made the point to you that maybe those guys that the Wild traded away were never really just as good as you thought they were. And
oh,
maybe
they weren't.
Their trade value was never what you thought they were. And I think, to be honest, to bring this full circle,
right,
we're learning that with Matt Dumba. Matt Dumba's trade value is not as high as we once thought it was 9 months ago. And that's not necessarily indicative of his play. It's just not as high as we think it is. So
yeah,
it's okay to admit that, yeah, Paul Fenton was a horrible human being. I'm glad he's not in this organization. He treated people like absolute crap.
He had no people skills.
He had zero people skills.
He was truly just a scout. That was it.
But guess what? He was a scout, and he knew talent.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Childress was a terrible people person.
Good
Brad Childress, new talent.
Correct.
So it's okay to realize that, hey, this guy was a jerk. I'm glad he's not part of the organization. But you know what? Credit where credit is due. He flipped things around, recognized that this core wasn't going to bring the Wild to the next step, and he began to tear it down. Bill Guerin takes over, who has a hell of a lot better people skills, a hell of a lot better persona on what is the formula to make what it takes to have a winning hockey team and a hockey culture.
Yep.
So it's good. It all works out.
And Bill Guerin is doing a very good job, but we just need to go back and recognize that Fenton, and look, I criticized him too. So I'm not saying at the time that we said, oh, he's right and you don't get it. But we need to, I feel like the Wild has the biggest group of apologists.
Yeah.
Like I feel like the
them
Wild
the
apologists. Yeah.
Them and the Twins.
But you know what? Looking at the guys who are succeeding now, and the one thing is, if you want to tell me that they are succeeding against horse bleep teams, you're right. But a lot of people don't buy that. They're like, oh, the Wild, I mean, San Jose, they played well. No, they didn't. They stink.
San Jose's bad.
They stink. But I'm going to give these guys credit, too. I'm going to give these guys credit because we need to accept the fact that you got to pick your path.
Yes.
And, yeah, and the Ducks are an affront to hockey.
And by the way.
At least they were.
And the Ducks, the Kings, the Sharks, I'm glad they're kicking their asses, for the lack of a better word. You should kick their asses.
Yes, absolutely.
You should beat up on the teams you're supposed to beat up on.
Yep.
At the same time, when you're drinking that Wild Kool-Aid, which I like to get passed along to me sometimes, I like to drink some Kool-Aid, you do have to recognize...
I thought you smoked the Wild stuff.
We will get into that on another podcast. You have to recognize that the wins over the Sharks and the Kings and the Ducks are not going to absolutely... The way they play against those teams is not going to translate right away to teams against Colorado and Vegas and St. Louis. You're honestly probably going to get exposed. We saw one game against Colorado, I believe, before the pause.
No, we saw three total.
Two
here, and they split, and then they went to Colorado.
It just
and
seems
lost.
Like they've played nothing but California teams.
I know, I'm tired. I'm sick of this.
I want them to. I know they'll play again.
It's not
the
their
Kings
fault,
again.
But I'm sick of it now.
They have Vegas coming up here in a couple
which
weeks.
Which I can't wait for.
Which I can't wait for either.
And the Kings, by the way, I think are better than we thought.
I think they're probably the best. The lousiest of the best and the
they
best
are.
The lousiest. But
they are.
But as long as you, essentially, I texted you this last night. If you go, and the math probably backs it up here. If you take 75% of the points you're supposed to take against San Jose, LA, and Anaheim, you basically just have to win like not even 50% of the games against the top dogs. You could probably win 45. You could probably take 45% of possible points, and that would still put you in the playoff picture for the NHL. So,
well, grab the four spot. That's right. All I want. I don't care.
And I think it's almost it's not a lock yet, but they would have to tank hard to miss that four spot.
Yeah, the Coyotes and Kings might have. Something to say about that, but those, you know, the Sharks won't, the Ducks won't, and the Kings could trail off. And I don't know that the Coyotes are that good, but yeah, they have an excellent opportunity here to make hay. There's no question about it. I just want to see, for evaluation purposes, Dex, how they do against the Blues, the Golden Knights, and the Avs. Like, just to see where they're at.
Yeah.
Because if I watch enough Ducks, Wild, or Wild Sharks, I can't really tell.
And to be honest,
and I just want to know, like, is this team tracking? And it's not for 2020-21. I want to know how this team is tracking, just period, across the board for the future.
And to be honest, if the Sharks had even remotely, they kind of remind me of the Wild from last year. If they had remotely average goaltending, I think they're a lot better. Martin Jones is awful.
Oh, he's a
Dubnyk is cooked, dude.
But what is up with what is Martin Jones? Like, if Martin Jones has a good game, he's actually pretty good. But he has all of these games where
he's just not good.
It's just bizarre.
He's just not good.
But like, he fell down last night a couple times.
Yeah,
his confidence waned.
No, they have enough horse. Couture is still unbelievable. Thomas Hurdle's great. I know Burns and Carlson are on the wrong side of the range, but they're still damn good. They're still good.
Carlson, that's a terrible contract.
So if they had even remotely average goaltending, I think the Sharks are a hell of a lot better. But
yeah, I know Martin Jones is a mess.
Martin Jones sucks. To be completely honest, I'm going to be completely frank.
So we can all agree that COVID sucks, okay?
Yeah.
But I will tell you one thing that COVID did, and it's very clear. It allowed Dean Evason the chance to get his lines right. Do you remember, as much as we were talking previously before the shutdown again, about the lines and about who should be playing center and who should be with?
Right.
And that's the problem. That is the main problem. And these are the two players I care about, you too, Fiala and Kaprizov. Like, get them guys that they can play with. I know that they're not going to be great, but let's find solid lines for them because they're stars. Like, they are your star players.
Yep.
And we talked about this pre-shutdown, and it was like they couldn't. I believe in the game back from the break, they tried Johansson, they moved him from wing to center, and that was not good. We now have on display, though, lines for the most part that I think work. And by the way, they might struggle a bit. Leave them together.
Right.
I know the temptation is, I got to break it up. But let's start with what's not considered the top line, but I think probably is right now, and that is Rask, Kaprizov, Zuccarello.
Yeah.
14 points in the past two games. Now, again, consider the opponents. That's impressive. But consider, I am not going to feed you the Kool-Aid that some will, okay? So we have to sort of stop the conversation for 1 second to say, you're not going to score 14 points in two games if you're playing the Avs and Golden Knights, okay? But last night alone, they accumulated in the 6-2 win over the Sharks, 9 points. Rask has, as I said before, 5 goals in 13 games. Let's start with that line. And I can't tell if Rask has really, like, stepped things up, Dex, or if he is benefiting potentially from playing with two guys who are good. But I will say the most impressive thing to me, it's not Rask. I applaud him. Zuccarello is. This is the guy that Declan Goff, more than a year ago, on scorenorth.com, tried to write a very complimentary, and at that time, correct piece?
He was playing well,
and
he went
off the cliff, and I don't know if it was the arm that he again had surgically repaired before they came back and started playing again, and he just came back from that. I don't know what it was, but Mats Zuccarello, while I still don't think that he was worth that contract, is playing like a high-end player who, with Kaprizov, could do something special here.
Yeah.
Fair?
Yes, it's been great. I think also what that line has been able to do is they're being placed in situations for them to be successful. So, yeah, when those three have been on the ice, they've created 6 goals. They've only allowed one. Also, Dean is putting them in the offensive zone 88% of the time. So when they're starting a faceoff, they're being placed. 8 out of 10 times they're being placed, almost 9 out of 10 times they're being placed in the offensive zone.
Well, that's a great stat.
So Evason is putting them in situations to be successful. And our guy Victor Rask, for whatever reason during the COVID shutdown, learned how to draw a faceoff.
I saw this stat last night. This is incredible.
He's been phenomenal in the circle.
This is incredible.
Look, if Victor, I'm not expecting Victor Rask to, you know, he's got 5 goals in 13 games. I'm not expecting him to score 25 goals. Because he's not shooting a lot. He's been pretty lucky in the indicative of his situations. But if he's being used in the right situations, and if he can win faceoffs, that's all you can ask for. That's basically all you can ask for. And that's fine. Keep in mind, the guy is only 27 years old.
Is he really?
Victor Rask is only 27.
He looks 42.
He does. But
the faceoff thing is remarkable.
It is. And he came down to earth a little bit against San Jose. He won 13 out of 14 against Anaheim, and then he only won 5 out of 13 against San Jose. But he's being
offensive
used.
Zone though, right?
Yeah, but he's being used. All three of them are being purposefully used in the offensive zone, which is crucial. Do you want Victor? Well, he might draw himself in with his faceoff skills.
I would Bonino.
But would you
defensive
want
zone?
Yeah. Do you want Victor Rask in the defensive zone taking a key drop? Probably not. So good on Dean Evason to use the players in the right situations. And then essentially, I mean, Zuccarello's always been a playmaker. He's always set people up. He has set guys like Kreider up. He set New York Ranger players up for years. That's who he is. He is a playmaker.
The long stick.
Yeah. Humongous twig. But Kirill Kaprizov is also this like if de facto center. And I believe Bill Guerin, who was on with our friend of the show, Michael Russo, the other day, he talked about how the center position and the position in general is changed to the point where you don't need someone to be the typical center facilitating. If you have one guy like Kevin Fiala who's driving offensive possession, and you have someone else like Matt Zuccarello who is the playmaker, someone like Victor Rask can fit right in there because all he has to do is win a bleeping faceoff and stay in his lane.
And Kaprizov is basically the guy that drives that line then.
Right.
That's exactly
so
I agree with that. That's a great point.
To the point of, all right, like, yes, I want the number one center. I want that. I want that so bad. I have a Jack Eichel trade request that we'll get into it maybe at the end of the show
We'll get to it.
Speculation trade. I have concocted.
Wouldn't deprive you of that, Declan
Goff. I have concocted a reckless, very reckless trade to acquire him. We'll get into it later.
Yep.
But also, Guerin is correct in that assessment of it's not necessarily you have to have this prototype center.
Centers are point guards now.
Yeah.
It's the same type of change in position.
Kaprizov is...
Evolution.
Is driving the possession. Patrick Kane is also a playmaker.
Is he not Patrick Kane?
He's Diet Patrick
Junior.
Kane. Yeah, yeah.
He's not there yet.
Right.
But my God, watch Kane. It's remarkable. And look, Kane is unbelievable. Okay.
Yeah,
so I'm not saying that they are right now the same player, but Declan, watch the styles.
Right.
Watch how they skate. Like, watch how they sort of dictate flow. It's remarkable. And if this continues, it's great.
Yep.
But you know what? Bill Guerin, that is a point I love. The center has changed. It's why I'm curious long-term, and I actually tweeted this out last night and got a note that they tried this with him in college last year, and it failed badly. But from watching him at the World Junior Championships, it's why I'm curious if Boldy could play center. Because he can make plays.
Yeah, maybe.
And that's the thing again. Mm-hmm. But again, if you are basically putting some of the responsibilities on said player, but not putting him in that position. All right. So I think what the Wild considers to be their top line is Eric Sinek, Greenway, your guy, Fiala.
Yeah.
All right. I think if I'm not mistaken, before COVID wiped out the team for about 2 weeks, I think this is what we ask for, right? Because didn't we say take Foligno off that line?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure. This is a line that I absolutely think belongs together and should stay there. And again, to me, it's all about two questions. Are 22 and 97 thriving? And if the answer is yes, the rest of it can work out.
Right.
Like if 18 is not and he's just playing hard, that's fine. But everything I'm thinking about this team is about two players. And I think with Greenway and Eric Sinek, Fiala, who was playing well, I think has a much better chance to consistently finish opportunities. Your thoughts?
No, I think that's absolutely correct. I think I've wanted Fiala and Kaprizov to play together just because nothing was really gelling. The continuity wasn't working. You want your offense to be a lot more dangerous. Well, the best way to do that is put your two best offensive players together. Don't spread out the wealth because it wasn't working. Well, now, if guys like Victor Rask and Matt Zuccarello are starting to step up a little bit, then it makes it easier. You can spread the wealth around. I guess my transition to it is, because the guy's snake bitten like hell right now. He hit a couple posts last night. What's wrong with Zach Parise? Is this a concern for you, or is this mostly bad luck?
I gave this some thought. So let's see here last night. Let's see if I can find his shot total last night, because it did feel like he was shooting a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, wrong on that. One shot. That can't be right. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the Ducks game. Hold on a second here. Let me pull up the Sharks game.
Judd loves his hard copy.
I've got my my score sheets.
You are just wasting trees and the whole thing.
I'm not worried about trees, dude. I have no kids. I'm going to die. I'm done. Parise last night had an assist. He was a plus two, three shots. I'm not concerned. I think it's going to be a streaky thing. And the thing about Zach is if Zach was your top line left wing, I'd be concerned. But he's not. This is what I like about these lines.
Okay.
He is now with Foligno, who I absolutely love, and Hartman, who, by the way, this is one of the best moves that Dean made. Hartman instead of Bukestad at center. Bukestad, fourth line wing. We'll get to that too. But you know what? That's fine. Don't care about that, right? But Bukestad was driving me crazy because he was centering lines and he was doing, as far as I could tell, very little. Hartman last night, Dex, made a couple of great passes. I think he had an assist, if I am not mistaken, on one goal. That was a great... Oh, I'm sorry. He had two assists last night. Hartman at center works really well. And at wing, he is tough. He was playing well. But this is the third line that they didn't have that they now do. I think Parisi will probably go through some type of goal-scoring streak.
Sure.
But because he's on that third line, because he's not a main cog top six guy,
yep.
I think his struggles, while not good considering his salary, also is not a killer for the team itself.
I get that. Yeah, I think it's mostly him being a little snake-bitten. I mean, for God's sakes, even the post wouldn't bite for him last night.
Yeah.
And yeah, if he's not your first-line center, or excuse me, a first-line wing and your top-line player, then it's kind of okay. I'm more concerned and I'm more excited about watching guys like Fiala and Kaprizov thrive and even someone like Matt Zuccarello take the step forward than I am Zach Parise struggling. I'm more enamored by their success than I am concerned with Zach Parise not being able to score some goals. So I think it's good.
And that brings us to the fourth line. Okay? Which is fine. Bonino, Sturm, and Bukestad. But here is the... So here is the dilemma and the interesting point about the fourth line. When Marcus Johansson, your guy, is prepared to return from his current injury...
Didn't he play last night?
No, he did not. He was scratched again. But when he is set to return... He either goes on the fourth line or stays in the press box. My one concern is that there might be an attempt, unless a guy gets hurt, I guess. But my point is, he was clearly a piece that, for the most part, didn't fit, right?
Yep.
And right now, they've got three lines that I think are incredibly solid, and a fourth line that plays hard. Marcus Johansson, at the very most, when he comes back, I think probably can take Bukestad's place. Beyond that, I don't want to see a move made.
I mean, he's been a dud.
I agree with you.
And look, I love to toot my horn when I'm right because I'm not right a lot. But at the same time, this is like sad. Like it's kind of unfortunate watching him absolutely struggle because he was a fast player. He's a playoff vet. 2 years ago with Boston, he was unbelievable in their cup run. I wanted to see him do something here, and I thought, okay, same thing with the Staal trade. Like, yeah, Eric Staal's right now a better player than Marcus Johansson. He plays a position of need at the Wild need. But you know what? Let's give Marcus Johansson a shot here.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I was going to say last night he was unnoticeable. That's because he wasn't playing. But at the same time, yeah, if Zuccarello is playing the way he is, where do you scratch Bukestad?
Sure.
Is that what you do?
That's the most I do.
And at this point, if you're Guerin, I'm telling you, like, get him back and get him healthy so he's good to go, and just dump him for pucks. Get a seventh-round pick. Get him to some contender will bite for depth on that move. Someone will bite.
Yes.
Someone will say, all right, yeah, we'll take it. We'll give you a sixth-round pick.
I think the question is which one of those guys, Bonino, right?
Yeah.
Johansson, Bukestad, can you dump for the most?
Yeah.
Now, Bonino might intrigue a contender as a fourth-line guy, which I would do. That's fine. And if I have to plug Johansson back in fourth line center, I don't care. My question is, of those three players, Bonino, Johansson, Bukestad, who can I get the most for? And that's what I'm doing. But my point is, I'm not messing with my top three lines to accommodate Marcus Johansson.
And I'm not concerned with what can I get for Marcus Johansson, Nick Bonino. That is... To be honest, it's a wash. It's chump change.
But if you get like a fourth or fifth round, if you can get a fifth round pick for one,
my
and a
bigger
seventh,
concern is which one of the two can help you more. And right now it's Nick Bonino. So I'm more concerned with which of these two players helps you more. Right now it's Nick Bonino. So if you can get a seventh round pick for Marcus Johansson, even if the Wild have to eat a million of his 4.5 cap hit while the other team takes on the other 3.5, great, do that. But you have to clear him off. Just get him out. It's not a good fit. It ain't working. Get him out. Get him out.
And they're going to say that if a guy gets hurt, you know, he'd plug back in. My point, though, is I don't know if he would become a distraction if he's not playing, and that's the problem. I guess as the trade deadline approaches, I would probably take a look at who I could get the most for, because this team's not there yet. Like, they should get that fourth playoff spot, but they ain't going to win a cup. So if I could get more, I'd probably take it. But the point is, it's a short sample size, but Johansson got his chance, and he showed you nothing.
Right.
And now you've got three lines that are consistently, and look, they are going to struggle way more against the Avs and the Golden Knights and Blues. I get all of that, but they still are going to show you more than what you got previously. Kaapo Kakkonen.
Yep.
31 saves last night. Let me give you his road statistics. 4-1, 182 goals against, .930 save percentage, which I believe is among the best in the National Hockey League for goaltenders away from home. I would start him again Wednesday. Now, I know that Cam Talbot was the backup last night, but he's coming back from COVID. I don't know where he's at conditioning-wise. But I think Kaapo Kakkonen has earned the chance to start against the Avs. And I am telling you now, the more I see him play, the more I think that there is definitely something here long term.
Well, he has been playing very great. I give the net Talbot on Wednesday. Kaapo's played fine. He's played fine. He still has a little bit of some shaky rebounds. He'll give up some fat ones every once in a while. I'd like to see him swallow up some more pucks. But in general, he's been nothing but great. You can't knock him for his play at all. I give the net back to Talbot on Wednesday. I'll see where that goes. If Talbot struggles, you put back in Kaapo. Talbot was signed here to be the number one goalie. For sure, that should scare you. But Talbot was signed to be your number one goalie. He was playing well before COVID and the shutdown happened. I want to see him get more time, too.
I do, too. But I would play him so that they're going to play the Kings on Friday, Saturday at home. At the X, I would play Talbot and Kaapo back to back there. But the Kaapo thing that excites me is there's something here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not a destined to be a backup goaltender type of guy. This guy has something that I think you can confidently say that there's a good chance that you have two goaltenders, which in this day and age is absolutely imperative, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's necessary.
Yep.
All right. Play the sounder.
All right, here we go.
It's next up.
Well, it transitions perfectly.
Speculation.
Okay, I'm going to throw out the name, and you throw out the proposal of reckless speculation. One, Jack Eichel of the Buffalo Sabres.
And before we play, or I give you the trade proposal. In the Minnesota sports media scene, fans are represented by two different yet equally important groups. The homers who affiliate with positivity and don't like to have fun, and the realists who prosecute the offenders and recklessly speculate. These are their ideas. All right. Jack Eichel wants out of Buffalo. Well, he's unhappy in Buffalo. I shouldn't report that.
A lot
that.
Of speculation is, around is, him, though, trying to be traded.
Trying to get out.
Yeah.
Classic Buffalo Sabres. Sign Taylor Hall. Bring in Eric Staal.
Did you know they put Hall... They took him off a line with Eichel and are playing him with Eric Staal now?
Yeah.
I believe he has one goal. He has one goal. Skinner was scratched, a healthy scratch last night.
Yeah, they are one of the most incompetent organizations.
He's got like an 8-year
contract. This is why I'm saying, Judd, I don't care if there's new GMs in place. This team will do something stupid to screw this up. So that also is a basis of this, a little
okay.
bit of this trade.
Let's hear it.
Okay. The floor of this trade, the foundation of this trade, I'm giving you two first-round picks. The Wild have three first-round picks over the next two drafts. I think it's more likely the Wild trade one of those picks than it is they make all three of those selections. They have one from Pittsburgh, and they have one in the first round this year and one in the first round next year.
So two first-round picks.
Two first-round picks. I'll say the Wild's first-round pick in 2021, and I'll say their 2022 first-round pick as well. So back-to-back first-round picks. That's the foundation of this trade. You get two first-round picks, Buffalo. That would give the Buffalo Sabres four first-round picks over the next two drafts, okay? So good for you. Take your lottery tickets. That's the foundation. I'm also giving up Jordan Greenway.
Yep.
I'm also giving up Matt Dumba because they just lost Jack McCabe to a long-term injury, and they need some defense help. And then this...
Henry Salina too, yeah.
And then this is where it gets interesting.
Whoa, so you're not done.
I'm not done.
Hold on a second.
I'm not done.
Dramatic pause.
Two first-round picks.
Greenway?
Jordan Greenway.
Okay.
Matt Dumba.
Whoa.
And Kaapo Kähkönen to get Jack Eichel.
So you're giving him the goal.
So I'm giving you a young, controllable goalie who's playing great right now, and you could build around. Goalies can steal you games. Buffalo does not have good goalie problems. Kaapo Kähkönen might be able to step in there and steal some games. I'm giving you Matt Dumba, who has a high cap hit and is an offensive first defenseman, but a nice dynamic player that you can keep around for a few years. I'm giving you also Jordan Greenway, a 24-year-old who is also playing very well right now, maybe fine becoming the player we thought he can be. I'm also giving you two first-round picks for you to solidify your rebuild and turn this thing back around. So that's my offer. I get wow. Jack Eichel, yep. And I bring to the table two first-round picks, Jordan Greenway, Matt Dumba, Kaapo Kähkönen. Now, I will say...
Wow. Yep.
I will say that the cap math still doesn't add up because Jack Eichel makes $10 million per season, and the Wild have pennies against their cap hit right now.
So how close are we with the three players you just traded?
So if you add up, let's see here, Greenway's making 2.1. Dumba on top of that is 6, so that's 8.1. Kaapo's making about 7.25, so that's close to 9. So there's still about $1 million gap that the Wild would have to create in their own cap space to get Jack Eichel.
You throw him back up.
This is where you trade Marcus Johansson for the seventh round pick to some other damn team that I don't care about and where he can rot away.
Or he just goes to Buffalo.
I don't care where he goes. Or he goes to Buffalo. I don't think he goes back there. They've tried that experiment.
Benino.
So, whatever.
I mean, you don't care who you trade.
You
clearly don't care.
If the $1 million is the only stumble of making this trade happen, you figure out how to create $1 million. That's not hard. But your thoughts on two first round picks, Jordan Greenway, Matt Dumba, and a young goalie in Kaapo Kähkönen. I'm not saying that this is still enough to get him, but I think it's damn interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's damn interesting.
Here's my guess. They'd probably want Boldy to replace one of those three. They'd probably want your top or one of your top prospects. Okay. Just this two first rounders, Greenway, Dumba, Kaapo. I don't think I've ever said this before. I'm not doing this, and here's why. As good as Jack Eichel is, I don't trust him. I don't trust him. I've heard too many things about his off-the-ice problems. I think that he would, if I liked him, this is still tough, but I probably make this deal. But I've heard so many differing things about this guy and his attitude and his demeanor off the ice and the stuff he does. If he had the clean, I'm not saying on the ice, I'm saying if he had the reputation of Connor McJesus off the ice, I'm very tempted and I might do this, but I don't know that he's the right guy. I don't know to give up this package. It's enormous to give up this package. And I admire you for dreaming up a reckless package that even blows me away. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it with this person and the character that I've heard about him.
All right, but don't you also think that character and those questions are taking place because he is in one of the most putrid organizations and a toxic environment in Buffalo?
I think that doesn't help him, that doesn't help the situation, but I don't know that I can blame it all on that. I don't know. Now, if I talk to teammates and stuff and guys that know him and find out I'm wrong, but I mean, I think you've got the... As huge as the package is, I think you've got the right type of... Like, I could see them saying Boldy instead of Greenway or something.
Sure.
I could see that. But I think you're on the right track as far as what the Jack Eichel package, if they eventually make this deal with, like, the Rangers or Kings, is going to be.
I mean, if you're Buffalo, you'd be getting a young goalie who could be your goalie of the future. You're getting two additional first-round picks, which gives you four over 2 years.
Yeah, how old is the Buffalo starting goaltender right now?
Here. Their two goalies on their are Connor Hutton. Yeah, Carter Hutton and Linus Ullmark.
And he's the starter.
Yeah. Both of them are not long-term options there.
And Linus Ullmark.
I saw one trade from, I believe...
It's an interesting...
HockeyWilderness.com made a similar trade, but they actually offered Talbot. I don't think they'd want... They don't want a 31. That's not enticing to me.
No, not for
them.
That's
not enticing. And also, the Wild have Hunter... Is it Hunter Jones? I believe they're...
Yes, the second-round pick from a few years back.
So he's still probably two, three years away from being the guy.
You're right.
But Kaapo would be the more enticing piece... That a team would say, oh, yeah, I'll take the young, exciting
I think they take
goalie.
Him. Yep.
So.
Yeah, no, I think you're on the right track. Let's see here. I was just going to look up the age of Linus Ullmark is 27. But I think you're right with the package. I need to know more about Eichel's character and demeanor. Mm-hmm. separated from what's just gone wrong in Buffalo. And because, I mean, that is the type of guy that if you get, man, it can change your franchise. Boy, that is as reckless as you can possibly get.
It's pretty spicy. I concocted it a couple nights ago after a couple Corona hard seltzers.
So it's $1 million more needs to come off the Wilds cap, and can Buffalo make this work?
Let me pull it back
up. They probably can.
Yeah, because they're clearing 10, and
They're not that big of
no
paying franchise.
No. I think it's exciting. You got it. I mean, if you want Jack Eichel.
No, I'm all for it. Oh, yeah.
That's what it's going to cost.
I agree.
That's what it's going to cost.
Yes. I'm flat out saying I don't feel I can make this deal, but you're right. Like, I'm not saying that's too much. It's probably right. It's probably the right package.
Yeah. We should get a GM on.
And they might switch out a guy, but you're right about the bodies probably and the draft picks.
You know, we should get our guy Puck Day. We should get Greg Wyshynski on and run that trade.
Oh, he'd love that.
I think he'd actually, and I know the Devils actually might, there have been rumors that the Devils could be buying on Jack Eichel, and the Devils are Wyshynski's squad. So.
Ooh, that might make them tough.
Yeah. Also, by the way, my call, like, proving that I'm usually very, very wrong. Do you remember who I told you would lead the NHL in goals this season in our pregame or preseason
preview?
Show?
No. Who?
Remember who I said it would be?
No.
This guy's not been doing well at all. I said Mika Zibanejad would lead the NHL in goals
this year.
Oh, he's
had a tough year.
He has just...
He's fallen off the face of the earth. They're not... They were supposed to be the surprise team.
Yeah.
Rangers have not been good.
No. That's why... I know that they've been one of the main suitors to possibly make the package to get Eichel.
So, speaking of reckless speculation, did you see who got benched in the third period on Friday night?
No, I did not.
Calgary, Edmonton. Okay.
Oh. Our guy Bennett.
Sam Bennett benched again. This is going to end.
Yeah.
They tried him on the first and second line. They tried playing him more. Evidently, his agent truly did go to, I believe, Fridge, and basically said he wants out or he should be traded without informing the Flames. The Flames are PO'd. Bennett right now in 18 games, 3 goals, 1 assists. 1 assist, 4 points, -7. He's out there. He's out there.
If you like him,
yeah. And he's not going to be the splash, obviously, or even close to the splash that Eichel would be. Mm-hmm. But he's intriguing.
Yeah,
he's intriguing. Like I just look right now against bad teams. The Wild's got 3 lines going well, and I think Ek on his line is fine. Hartman, I really do like the third line of playing where he is right now. I don't know if that's going to be a long-term solution, but being dead serious about this, Victor Rask ain't going to last.
No, I mean, it's
like
fun,
that's going to end. So at some point in time, would you welcome or encourage trying to plug in a guy like Bennett to a line that has Kaprizov and Matt's on it?
Yeah, I would try it. I would put Bennett on there. I would give it a shot.
Because that's the type. I mean, the Rask thing, I think once you play good teams is going to come to an end.
Yeah, I mean,
I just don't see it.
It's fun.
Being realistic.
I know we like poking fun at it, but
Paul Fenn's a genius, but that's beside the point.
Exactly. But yeah, it's more of an achievable person to get. He's also an RFA. Sam Bennett's an RFA. Now, RFAs can be tricky. The Wild have to figure out their own RFA issues with guys like Greenway and Fiala going forward. No, excuse me, not Greenway, but Fiala going forward.
And that trade would cost you what? One of your first round picks?
To get Bennett?
Yeah.
I doubt it. I really don't think.
Second round pick?
Yeah, maybe a ceiling of a second.
A player?
In terms of draft capital. Yeah, and a player to throw in. Marcus Johansson, take him. Anything I can do to get Johansson off this team, I'm going to.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, okay? You were right.
He hasn't fit.
He hasn't fit.
Good.
He's not good. I don't know what's right. He's just cooked. All right, last thing for you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Just to make us jealous here, because this poor team in our hometown, searching for centers high and low, moving guys around, doing whatever they can, right? Did you see where the Winnipeg Jets had Pierre-Luc Dubois in their last game?
No, I did not.
They played him on their top line with Wheeler on one wing and Mark Scheifele at center. They move Pierre. They say it's not long-term, but for right now, and I guess he played great coming back from an injury of some sort. They move Pierre-Luc Dubois to a wing.
The Jets,
as
man.
This poor bleeping town can't find a number one center to save its life.
Oh, you're talking about Victor Rask.
Yeah, we're talking about Victor Rask. Pierre-Luc Dubois comes back from injury and plays wing. I just thought I'd finish on that note.
Oh, my God.
I just thought, because they were going to move Stastny to wing, and then they didn't move him to wing. They kept him at center, and they decided that probably, you know, rightfully so, Pierre-Luc Dubois should be plugged in on the top line. And they're like, well, Scheifele's our center there. We'll just have him play wing. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts are, you know, to go get Jack Eichel and mortgage your half your team to go do this. No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad the Wild are back.
Wednesday. I'm very excited to see Colorado.
That'll be good. I'm excited to see Vegas here in a couple weeks, I believe. They're coming to town in a couple weeks, so that'll be good. But, yeah, I'm glad hockey's back. Beat up on the bad teams. That's good stuff. And then, yeah, get reckless, Bill Guerin.
And there is
nothing. Phone.
And there is nothing quite like line combination talk.
I do love
Okay, take it.
Pass, shoot, score.